All right, brethren, Song of Solomon tonight, but we're going to begin this text in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we're going to begin with Mary of Bethany. This is after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11. Sometime after that, I'm not sure how long, Jesus came to Bethany, and they served Jesus a supper. And who was there but Martha, who was cooking and serving, Mary, and Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. And so I just want to read the first three verses, make some comments on that, and we're going to make a connection between that and Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 12. So let's pray. Lord, help us, I pray. Father, I pray that there would be, Father, understanding on both sides of the pulpit. I pray, Father, that you would illuminate, help me, Father. And I pray you would help all those that are here tonight, Father, to be edified, to understand. I pray that you would speak. We want to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So John chapter 12 says, what's that? No, 12. John 12. 11 was when Lazarus was raised. So we come to John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And at the end of verse 3, it tells us the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, this is a beautiful picture of what we'll see in a moment of what happens in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 12. Again, this is after the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He had been dead 4 days, if you remember. Now the king was at supper. The king was at the table with them, with Lazarus. Mary was behind him and anointed his feet with this very costly ointment. Martha was serving. Mary opened up her box and she anointed the Lord's feet. Now the Bible tells us the house was filled with the sweet fragrance, the scent, the odor of this ointment. Now listen, it was the presence of the Lord Jesus is what I want to start right out and teach you today. It was, if Christ would not have been there, Mary would not have brought out her box of ointment. It was very costly. So it was the presence of the Lord Jesus that brought Mary to the supper. And it was her love and thankfulness to him for raising her brother from the grave. Not only that, but also for her love for him. For we know in Luke chapter 11, what did Mary do while Martha was serving before? Luke chapter 10, if you look there, you don't have to look there now, but if you are there, the Bible teaches us that Mary was doing what while Martha was serving? Mary was sitting at his feet and she was listening to him. And you remember Martha, she got kind of upset and she told the Lord, she said, don't you care that I'm serving while Mary sits there and does nothing? And Jesus said, she's not doing nothing. She's taking care of that thing that is needful. So we know that Mary had a very deep love for Christ. Her love for Christ is seen in her sitting at his feet and hearing his word. But now she expressed her love to Christ by opening her box of spikenard ointment and anointing his feet. When she did, the beautiful aroma and fragrance of her very costly ointment filled the whole house where the Lord Jesus was sitting at the table. Beloved, I'd like to correlate that to us coming to this house. When you come to this house, I pray that you come to sit at the feet of Christ. I pray that you come to the table of Christ. We're going to have the Lord's table this Sunday. But I pray you come not to an ordinance, but I pray you come to participate with the Lord. I pray every time you come to the house of the Lord, on Wednesdays or Sundays, that you come to be in the presence of Christ, that you come to meet with your God, that you come to be spoken to by God. If you come just to church, then it's like coming to an empty table. You must come to the table where the King is sitting. And beloved, that's what I encourage you tonight. So if we come to this house, brethren, with love to Christ in our hearts, the way Mary did, expecting that we will be sitting in the King's house, sitting at the King's table, that is when the fragrance and aroma of our love to Christ will fill this house like the fragrance of Mary's perfumed ointment filled that house. Listen, if Christ would not have been at supper, and I want to emphasize this, Mary's ointment of spikenard would have never been opened. It would have stayed sealed up in the bottle. Now, keeping that in mind, turn back to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and just one verse tonight, verse 12. Song of Solomon, verse 12. And we could see the words of Solomon here. He writes, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." It almost perfectly fits with John chapter 12. Now, this is the second time the bride referred to the bridegroom as the king in chapter 1. We know in verse 4, she said, "The king hath brought me into his chambers," speaking of the intimacy between Christ and his church, when the king brought me into his chambers. And here in verse 12, the bride speaks of sitting with him at his table, in his presence. And what happens when we sit at the table of Christ, when we come to the church, beloved? You need to think about it as a supper. You need to think of it as being nursed. You need to think of it as being fed by God. What does Matthew 4:4 says? "Man does not live by bread only," that is, perishable bread, "but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live." Now listen, Jesus lived for 40 days without eating when he was tempted of the devil. When he sat at the well in John chapter 4, and the disciples came to him and said, "You need to eat, Master." He said, "I have bread or meat to eat that you know nothing about." And they said, "Did somebody bring him something to eat?" He's talking about spiritual food, brethren. Listen, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he wasn't in a time of famine. He was in a time of spiritual fatness. And beloved, that's our lives. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, which is what he answered the first temptation. "Make these stones bread," he told the wicked one. "Man doesn't live by that kind of bread only, but by every word of God." Yes, we need food, but the most important food you need is food for your soul. And beloved, when we come to the house of God, we need to come as if we're coming to the king's table. That's how we need to come. And so both instances here in Song of Solomon chapter 1, verses 4 and 12, speak of the bride being in the king's presence, which is how we ought to desire to live our Christian lives, not just here. Beloved, we ought to desire to live our Christian lives every single day of our lives out in the world in the presence of Christ. Listen, if you have a love for Christ, like Mary did, you will long to be in his presence. And listen, if we don't, if we come to church and it's like dead orthodoxy, and if we just come to church and it doesn't at least excite our spirits, then there's something wrong with us. Something wrong with me if I don't want to come, if I don't long to be in the presence of Christ. When you long to be in his presence, when that is true about you, when that is true about me, brethren, the fragrance and aroma of your love to Christ will spread. You know what a diffuser is? You ladies know what that is. I had to figure out what that was. It's one of those things you put smelly stuff in and it diffuses, right? Is that what it is? Oils, essential oils, something like that. But when you long to be in the presence of the King, when you long for Christ, when you love Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, when you want to be in his presence, that love is going to diffuse from you, just like it diffuses in one of those things. like incense, like a fragrance, like a sweet fragrance. And it will spread to all those that know you. Beloved, that's like it spread in the house in Bethany, and everybody in the house could smell it. Beloved, that's how our lives are to be. See, the bride spikenard gave forth its sweet fragrance because she loved the king and because she was with him at his table. That's the Christian life, brethren. Look at Psalm 42. Just a couple of references gives us the heart of the psalmist and the psalmist's ardent desire. We sing the song, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth, longeth my soul after thee, O God. Listen, what is our Christian life without love to Christ? What is it without love to Christ? Look at 42:1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We must read passages like that, and if it's not so about us, we need to ask God, make that so about me. Why isn't it so about me? Might be because we're panting after other things. Might be because we're longing after the world. It might be because we're not cultivating, we're not taking the good seed of the word when we read it, when we hear it, and making sure it's in the good ground of our hearts. We're not breaking up the fallow ground. Man, let me tell you, my Bible reading in the last few days has been so good. And I'll tell you, it's only been one chapter. No, yesterday two, today one chapter. But, I mean, I needed God to speak to me. I needed God to speak to me. And I was going to go right into my study, and just to go right into studying. But I said, I need you to speak to me, Lord. It's almost like I'm battling this battle with time. I said, no, I'm going to read. And I had my prayer time, and I read. And I read in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And you know that place where Jonathan separated himself from Saul's army, and he told his armor bearer, he says, hey, let's go discover ourselves to the Philistines. And if we say this and they rise up and said, come over here, then the Lord's delivered them into our hands. But on the way to him going to them, there were those two rocks, Sina and Bozez. And it made it a difficult passage. So if he was going to get that victory and he was going to get to the Philistines, he had to go through that very difficult place. And the Lord just spoke to me, and the Lord told me, you're going to go through, you have to pass through these two rocks, this difficult pass. If you would trust me and pass through that, then you will win the victory. You will do well for me. And the Lord spoke to me in that. I needed to hear that this morning. 1 Samuel 14, that's beside the point. But look, he says, my soul thirsteth for God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come to appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of praise, of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He was unsettled. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, his presence, his face. When you see that, it's the presence of God. And look what he says, verse 6, O my God. This is the only way you should say those words, by the way, when you're reading the Word of God, when you're praying. We hear that so often from young people, don't we? Parents, grandparents, you hear your kids saying, oh my gosh. Well, I didn't say, oh my God. Tell them don't say, oh my gosh, because it's right there on the edge. The only way we should say, oh my God, is in prayer. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Brethren, we need to enter into that. And then Psalm 63, just the first three verses, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You might ask, how do I come to experience this special love for Christ? How do I do this? I mean, listen, when we read this, you can't just read over these passages and say, well, this is just foreign to me. They're a lot deeper than I was. It's just not me. Well, why isn't it you? Don't you want it to be you? I mean, listen, in heaven we'll be worshiping Christ. We'll be singing with a new voice. We'll be singing a new song. We'll be praising Him throughout eternity. Shouldn't that be what we're doing now? So how do I come to experience the special love for Christ? Well, you must know that the Christian life is not lived by keeping a book of rules. It's not a life of keeping a bunch of rudimentary rules. It's not outwardly complying with commandments. It's not keeping of external religious ordinances. It is a new birth. It is a new life in which we are united to Christ by faith, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, Peter said, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again." Begotten means birthed us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are to have an alive hope, a lively hope. We're to be lively creatures, alive. The Word of God, the fellowship of the saints, the gathering is to be lively. We're to be awake with joy. Our faith, our hope, and our love in Christ should be alive and lively, not dead and lifeless. We love a risen Savior, not a religious system. As a result of our new birth, we seek the felt presence of God. You'll see some of the old writers will talk about the felt presence of God. In contrast to what we were before we were born again. We should have a wholehearted desire to walk with Christ and in obedience to His Word. That should be our desire. Look at John 14, verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. We don't serve a book of rules. We serve a person. We serve the person of Christ. Our love and devotion is not to the church. Our love and devotion is to Christ, brethren. John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And what's further, he'll desire to keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will dwell in him. Beloved, when we open our Bibles and our personal devotions, we should long to be in the presence of Christ. We should never open our Bibles haphazardly. We should never open them up and just say, listen, we don't come to our four chapters in the Bible. We don't come to our one chapter. I don't just come to my reading. We need to come to the table of the King. We need to come to be fed by the King. That's how we need to come, brethren. We come to be nourished. And that's what we should desire. We should desire to be in His holy presence, to be fed, to be nourished by Him. Even when we gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays, we must come by faith to sit at the table of the King, like Mary came and sat at the feet of Christ. Again, you must not come to a Bible and to your daily reading list. No, you must come to the King's table to commune with Him. And then the second part of that verse, Song of Solomon 1:12, So Jesus said, while the king sitteth at his table, that is when my spikenard, saith the bride, sent forth its beautiful smell, its scent, its sweet fragrance. So Mary's ointment gave forth its sweet fragrance because of her love to Christ. Beloved, if we come to our devotions and our prayers, to the church gathering with love to Christ in our hearts, seeking to come into the presence of Christ and to sit at the King's table, the sweet fragrance and aroma of our worship and of our love to Christ will fill this place. It'll fill your private devotions, brethren. It will fill your prayers, just like the fragrance of Mary's perfumed spikenard ointment filled that house. Mary's love for Christ was the fragrance of her spikenard. Mary's love for Christ. When we in our hearts come into the presence of Christ, that is when we learn Christ. That is when He communicates His love to us. Beloved, Christ communicates His love to us. We're united to Him. He's the bridegroom. So He loves us and He communicates that love to us. And every grace that He has promised, He communicates to us. He's communicating to you, Christian, His graces, love, compassion, mercy, kindness. He communicates those graces to you. You are His workmanship. He's creating you in Christ Jesus unto good works. He communicates to you every grace that you need. And that is when, beloved, we are to communicate our love back to Him. Again, to come to your devotions and prayers or to the church gathering without coming to Christ is to come to an empty table. It's to come to a table that is not set. It is to come to a table which cannot feed your soul nor your spirit. There is no sweetness in Christianity without Christ. Listen, if you're living your Christian life without loving Christ, there is no sweetness in your Christian life. The last thing we should want is to simply be religious and full of dead orthodoxy without a true love to our Lord. So many profess to know Christ, but their Christianity is dead. They profess to know Christ, but there is no love for Christ in their hearts. And therefore, there is no aroma and there is no scent of grace that comes forth from their lives. You ever experienced that? That should not be the experience. That should not be what we experience in the dynamic of two people that love Christ. Or if someone tells you that they're a Christian and a believer, it should not be that there is no fragrance of grace. It should not be that there is no love that comes forth from their life, beloved. It should not be so. That's not Christianity. Your Christian life should give off a sweet savor of Christ. Ephesians 5, and I'll be done. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 1, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Listen, your life, when you company among humans in the world, whether they're lost humans or whether they're saved humans, your life should be like one of those diffusers that you put the sweet-smelling stuff in. And your life should be like when it's plugged in and it's diffusing that fragrance. That should be your life. That should be my life. It should be the sweet grace and love of Christ should come forth from you. That kindness, that humility, that gentleness, that's what should come forth from you. Yes, on a much smaller scale than the Lord Himself, but beloved, we should be being conformed to the image of Christ. Ephesians 5, 1, notice, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us. See that? Walk in love. Listen, how often are we the very opposites of what we say? Oh, I love Christ. And then somebody cuts in front of us. I'm being serious. Or we answer roughly someone who speaks to us in a mean tone. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft tongue breaketh a bone. Beloved, if there's anything I don't want to be, it's a misrepresentation of what a lover of Christ is. Listen, you call yourself a Christian? Think about this. If I call myself a Christian, I'm calling myself a lover of Christ. And look, he says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We should have some sweet smell. Listen, this smell should speak to us because this savor. You remember when Dinah was violated by, I think it was Shechem back in Genesis 34. You remember that? And the sons of Jacob went to them and deceived them and said, look, if you circumcise yourselves, we'll give our daughter girls to you in marriage and vice versa, and you can traffic among us. And they lied. And after they did that, what did Jacob's boys do? They drew the sword and went and killed all the males. Remember what Jacob said? You can look at it. I think it's Genesis 34:30. He says, you have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. Talking about his reputation. Not smelly stink, but smelly stink. And so here, beloved, we should not make the name of Christ stink. 2 Corinthians, and I'll be done. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul says, now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. We're to be a sweet savor of Christ to the lost and to the saved. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Beloved, every place that you and I go in the world, and with every human with whom we company and traffic, we should be spreading and diffusing the sweet fragrance of the love of Christ among those that we know. That agape love. And listen, I'll just read Song of Solomon 1:12 again. It all starts at the king's table. That's where it all starts. He's the one that's got to set the table. He's the one that's got to be at the table. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof, while the king was at his table. I pray the Lord will help us with this. George said, Selah. We talked about Selah. I say now, Selah. Meditate upon these things. Let's pray. Lord, please help us. Thank you so much, Father, for the love of Christ. Thank you so much for so often setting the table for us, oh God. Thank you for your presence. Oh God, we don't want to come to an empty table. We don't want to come to ordinances. We don't want to come to a church service. We want to come to Christ. Oh God, we want to be spoken to by the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord. We're very needy. Help me, Father. Forgive us for our sins. Lord, Father, forgive us when we get stuck in a rut of religious formality, dead orthodoxy. Help us, Lord. Oh, that we would pant after Thee as the hart panteth after the water brooks. Oh God, help us this night. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.